Jesse Reigns, sing now.
For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. 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 I am so grateful on tonight. Yes, 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 yes. He is worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah is the highest praise. If you are stuck in any type of rut, I guarantee you a praise of hallelujah will get it out. The Bible declares that give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning us. And the highest praise that we can give God thanks in is saying hallelujah. We want to give thanks unto God for giving us this day, for he has made it, and we are feeling glad about it because he had us in mind when he did it. It is 9:08, top of the hour, East Coast time. I believe it's around 6 o'clock around on the West Coast, for our West Coast listeners. I'm excited today because God has made another way. And when he makes a way, I'm excited about it, and you should be too. Let me tell you about this weekend. This past weekend, we had a glorious time here in Jacksonville, Florida. We had a Kairos Assembly. We talked about the regional assessments. We talked about building and gathering apostolic teams. We had a great time dealing with breaking regions open, and I just really felt pressed in my spirit that we should further this. It was that teaching that we did this weekend, gathering of apostolic teams. It's very important now that we see so many people coming in and out of the body of Christ and leaders emerging out of all types of cultures and lifestyles. We need to have more team ministry. We need to get rid of this Lone Ranger spirit. You know, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. You know, even steak has potatoes. You know, you got to have some type of combination and connect these graces together in this season. I remember back in around 2015, the Lord began to deal with me on a prophetic forecast talking about how he was going to raise up apostolic confederacies. And those apostolic confederacies are networks of people or networks of teams that are gathering together where they might have had one agenda before. Now they're coming together. They're laying aside their own visions and picking up another man's vision. They're coming together and exercising the advancement of the kingdom with their own graces as a team. So I'm excited about what God is showing me. And as you can see, you can look through your Facebook, look at Snapchat, look at Facebook Live as a great example. Now you have an option where you can actually bring people in to minister alongside of you. Look at all of the people that you're seeing minister together as a team. The day of the one man, the Superman, is over. It's team ministry. You got to get out of the mindset that it's only I, it's only me. And we know that we've always heard that there's no I in the word team. However, there is a personal pronoun called me. Yeah, when the team becomes all about you, it's no longer a team. You are solo. Oh, yes. Yeah. We need to really deal with these solo, these renegade leaders out here that feels like they don't have to connect with nobody. They don't have to sit under nobody. They don't need counsel from nobody. The word of the Lord declares that in the multitude of counsel is safety. Hallelujah. In the multitude of counsel, wars and strategies for wars are established. You can't have a fortified front by yourself. You can't have a fortified front doing everything by your lonesome. No, this is an hour, this is a season, and I'm prophesying to you that you won't be able to get anything done until you connect with somebody else. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. Lose some of those hats. You're not the prophet, the apostle, the pastor, evangelist, and the teacher. You're not all the five-fold ministry. No, come on. I'm here to tell you. Apostle Dietrich L. Gass is calling you from Florida here on this night, is telling you you don't have it all. You got to connect with somebody that's going to be able to sharpen you, that's maybe to bring you to a place of fulfillment, and you can't do it by yourself. And far too long, we are seeing leaders fall by the wayside. They're falling because they're tired. They're falling because they're distraught. They're tired because they're doing too many things by themselves. Why? Because they don't have people they can trust good enough to carry their vision. Oh, my goodness. Let's look at the word of the Lord a little bit. I want to kind of give you some principles and kind of encourage you and give you some excitement as it relates to getting yourself as a part of a team. Part of a team. Let's look at what in Genesis chapter 14, it says in verse 13, and there came that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram, meaning they had basically built an army. They built a militia. They got together because the Sodomite kings had spoiled the house of Lot over in Sodom and Gomorrah in the plain city. You know, those cities that had the perversions living in them. The Sodomite kings came and ramshacked the city and took all of the goods, the men, the women, the children, the boys, the girls, the dog, the cat, and the rat. They took it all. And in the midst of all of that stuff, Lot was thrown in the mix. So here we find Abram, who has not experienced any battles thus far, but he's experienced his first battle here and the battle of Dan. And now we see him joining together. He realized the importance of a strategy. See, this is the hour that you're not going to get past by strength nor by might, but you're going to have to get it by God's Spirit, because God's Spirit is going to give you strategy. God never won a war by masses or by might. He always had a plan. He always had a strategy. One of the most key words that he's given us in our repertoire that we know of is called worship. And that worship is the Greek word for strategeo, which means strategy, which means when we get into worship, God begins to give us our plan for our life. He begins to give us our blueprint for our life. He begins to give us that person that we're supposed to connect to. He begins to show us our path and who we're supposed to adjacent ourselves to, because how can two walk together except they be agreed? So God has to get you into a place of agreement. He has to get us all into a place of alignment so we can walk with the people that we're destined to walk with in this season in our life. You're not meant to walk alone. God did not call you to a cave. I break that spirit off of your life, that runaway spirit. In Jesus' name, you let the devil kidnap you and put you in a cave. You let the devil shut your mouth and put a muzzle over your face so you can't speak what thus save the Lord, but you'll never get that word out of your life. You'll never get that word out of your mouth, and you'll never go anywhere in life unless you connect with somebody. How are you going to be let me ask y'all a question. How are you going to be a Christian? How are you going to be a believer? How are you going to be a part of the household of faith if you don't like people? Oh, my God. Don't you know that your very vocation is a customer service job? How you don't like people and you're saved? How you don't want to correct nobody? Everybody else is wrong but you. Everybody else got a revelation. Everybody else's revelation is wrong but yours. You out there by yourself, and you can't see your nose before your face because you're so stuck on yourself. And this is why God can't bless your house. He can't bless your family. He can't bless your ministry, because he blesses those that are two and three in agreement, because he comes in the midst. You can't get God by yourself. You got to have somebody with you. Forsake not, thank you, Holy Spirit, the assembling of yourselves. But we're supposed to gather. We're supposed to gather. Why are we gathering? Because there is a force, there is a foe that is greater than us, that is greater than us, that's fighting us and has been fighting us for eons and for decades, and is bent on breaking us. But he will not be able to do it, because there's no gate in hell that should prevail against the church. There's nothing that the enemy can put at us that God is not going to give us a strategy to defeat.
but we got to be able to come together. This is how we have, this is how we know that we're being defeated as a church. All you got to do is look at your neighborhood, look at your city, look at how many churches are on one block. And we can't even organize a street sweep. We can't even close down prostitution rings. We can't shut down sex trafficking. We can't do anything by ourselves. Why? Because it's proof in the pudding. God never sent anyone out by themselves. He always sent them out as a team. Here we find Abram again. Hallelujah. He's going to fight, and he's going to find and then fight for his brother. He's going to find and fight for his nephew, for his family member. Come on, his kinsman. He's going to redeem him. Abram is playing. He is a part of a modern or type and shadow of Christ. He's going to redeem his kinsman from the hand of the enemy. But even Abram had sense enough to not go alone. Hallelujah. You are in the place that you're in because you're afraid to be with other people. You want to be alone. Why? Why do you want to be alone? Maybe it's the scars. Maybe it's the hurt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's guilt. Whatever it is that's keeping you disconnected. You're part of the amputee ministry. I break that spirit off of your life. I speak right now that you will get a fire and desire to begin to connect with a local ministry, to begin to connect with local leaders and local believers that will begin to give you an inheritance amongst those that are sanctified. You can't even get your inheritance unless you are part of a team. You're part of a sanctified team. You need to get yourself up out of the bed of do nothing, of Bedside Baptist, and get yourself into a local church. This is the plan of the enemy. He wants to keep us divided. He wants to keep us separated because he knows as long as we're disconnected, God can't come in and dwell. We can't win wars without teamwork. We have to learn how to be an effective team. We have to learn that every team has a purpose. A purpose. What is your purpose? Are you a part of a local ministry? Are you a part of an apostolic presbytery? We'll get further into that as we go. You have to believe God has set you here in this season, in this time in your life. You have to believe that he set you here for a purpose. And if you, long as you have no purpose, you have no life. This is why people commit suicide. Don't you know you connecting with someone else will show you this? Oh, my God. Just connecting with someone else will show you. You can't find your purpose by yourself. You can't walk this walk of life by yourself. You can't run ministry by yourself. I don't care how anointed you are. You need help. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says that David even said, send for me help from out of the sanctuary and strength from out of Zion. Yeah, he's got God's help because he has the Spirit of God with him. But the natural man, yeah, sometimes you need to see people. Oh, God, you need to get out of your prayer closet and go to the mall. And get a friend. Oh, God. Somebody stop praying for discernment and pray for a friend. Oh, Jesus Christ. I've never seen so many anointed, friendless people. Anointed, friendless people. What am I talking about? You can't even build. You can't even advance. You can't even minister and cause the kingdom of God to be exalted because you can't connect with people, because you can't get a part of a work that's doing something other than what you believe that you should be doing, because everything is about you. Oh, God, everything is about me. Everything is about you. What is God saying in all of this? God is saying that it's time for us to humble ourselves, and humility takes submission, and submission takes us a place and a people to come into the same mindset and agreement, that they might be able to speak the same language, that they might be able to have the same mindset, that they might be able to have and work towards the same goals and the same purposes. Look how Abram took a team, a Confederate army, a militia, if you will, and began to beat back the rankings of an army that was larger than him. Why? Because the Bible says he had a strategy. He had a strategy. He fought so good. In verse 15, it said he divided himself against he and his servants by night and smote them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. So Abram's militia, his team, took a region. Oh, my God, let me tell you something here. You can't have a region until you have a team. Oh, Lord. Lord ain't going to send you into the region by yourself. He's not going to send you to overtake nations by yourself. He's going to send you with a team. I was watching a very excellent movie, The 12 Strong, earlier, last week sometime, and I got halfway through it, but one point stuck out very, very beautifully to me. The captain came running in off of vacation, basically, and he's ready to go back to work. And everybody's running around doing what they do. You know, time doesn't stop because you on vacation. Time, the army ain't going to stop. The kingdom's not going to stop because you decided you're not going to come to church. The kingdom ain't going to stop because you decided you're not going to do anything unless they do it your way because your way is better. Oh, let's get rid of the pride. Let's get rid of the false humility. This man comes in off of the streets and begins to declare to his captain, his superior, okay, I'm ready to work now. You know, where are you going to send me? What region am I going to? And the man, the captain said to him, and it blessed my soul, he said, you know what, sir? You don't have a region. And he said, you know what? Why don't I have a region? He said, because you don't have a team. And if you don't have a team, you don't have a region. Oh, God, you think God is dumb? God is not going to send you out there by yourself. God has not called you to an island so you can play with your little misfit toys. This is not the Isle of Misfits. This is a time of the remnant for you to stand up and become connected, fully unified as a body, so we can do what God says do and walk as he says walk in unity. Until we have the unity, until we come and we begin to have team, understand our purpose, understand how to effectively work together, we will always have clashes in the spirit. There will always be the external church versus the internal church. Until we learn how to work together as a team, until we learn how to work together as leaders and stop saying to one another, and my vision is better than yours, and because I got more people, you're nothing. Oh, can the little toe say to the big toe that you're not part of the foot? Can the tongue say part to the mouth and the teeth, shut up, we don't need you? No, you can't say these things. This is what's keeping us divided, because we have not learned how to connect. We have not learned how to build each other up and give each other the things that we need in order to survive here in the prince of this age, in the seasons and these ages, where the prince and the power of the air is working through the children of disobedience. By working through the children of disobedience, that God is telling you, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. God is telling you to link up. God is telling you to get in covenant. But that covenant-breaking spirit, that disannulling demon, doesn't want you to be connected with anybody because he wants you to die alone. But I break that spirit of loneliness off of you. This is how you know that you got a devil. When you got a devil that doesn't want you to connect, you could be in the midst of a whole bunch of people and you still feel lonely. You could still fall lonely, no matter how many people say hello, no matter how many people want to come and embrace you and give you a hug and invite you to dinner, invite you to breakfast. You still don't feel connected because you're not connected in the relationship with God, because God is a covenant-keeping God. And if you want to keep covenant with God, then you got to learn how to keep covenant with people. God said he's married to the backslider. It means he has a covenant. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That deed is a piece of paper. It means he's free with a contract, and that contract that has the name of Jesus Christ and is written in his blood that says, I set him free to walk out of darkness into the marvelous light with me and my team. Jesus, John the Baptist, hallelujah, he became part of a team that would bring people, the masses, out of their sin into God's grace of salvation. John the Revelator said, I saw a number, that no man could number. God got a team that has no number to it. It got so many people, so many saints, so many believers and angels fortified together, a fortified front, and God pushes them forth and advances them forth here in the spirit realm so we can advance in the natural. And he begins to say, hold the line. I'm speaking to somebody prophetically tonight. God is saying to you, hold the line. Everybody else wants to give up, but you are the anchor of your team. Hold the line. Don't give up. Keep pressing forward. You know, somebody said that you're the weakest link. Uh-oh, you're the weakest link. The chain is a strong weakest link. Are you the weak link in your team? This is found out by understanding your team dynamics. You got to know how your team flows. You got to know how your membership flows. You got to know how your people flow. Because even though I'm a leader, I'm still part of a team. My people are still my teammates. Hallelujah. Come on, Apostle Paul and Barnabas and John Mark was their member. He was their minister. This is what I call an apostolic presbytery. Apostolic presbytery, they had a lead, they had an intercessor, and they had a helper. The lead at the time of the Church of Antioch's distribution of the grace gifts of Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark, Barnabas was first. He was the lead. Most majority of the scriptures went Barnabas and Saul, and then it went to Paul and Barnabas. So Barnabas had the forefront. In the beginning, he was the lead. Paul would be identified as the intercessor, and John Mark would be identified as the helper. So if you, when you begin to build your teams, at least have two or three you want to start off with. You want to start off with a lead, you want to start off with an intercessor, and you want to start off with a helper. These three team members interchange or work together interchangeably. That means whenever the lead is done and God has finished speaking to that person, that individual, then the intercessor might speak or the helper might speak. You subside to one another. How come we cannot submit to one another's graces? Just because you're older than me, just because I'm younger than you, doesn't mean that I know nothing, doesn't mean that they know nothing. You have to submit to the grace of the season and the spirit of this age. Come on, leaders here. This is how teamwork works. You have to submit to the greater wisdom. You have to submit to the greater wisdom in the room that's going to be able to solve the problem. And until we learn as a church how to do this, we'll never be able to effectively defeat the kingdom of darkness. Abram took a confederacy, a militia, and began to wage war on the Sodomite kings. And verse 16 said he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot. And his goods, and the women also, and the people, covered it all. He didn't recover it all by himself. He recovered it with a team. Let me tell you again, prophetically, your next move, your next expansion, your next great miracle is going to be a result of you connecting with a team. Oh, my God. You're not going to be able to do it alone in this season. God is calling you from the lonelies. He's bringing you to stop taking. You're not going to be able to take selfies no more. You're going to be taking usies. Come on. No, transition from selfie to usies. Get part of a team. Get you some friends. You got to have good team leadership. Let me give you some scriptures for team purpose. You want to have a purpose for your team. 1 Chronicles 19, 10 through 12. You want to have a good purpose for your team. When you have a team, it's to help you to receive strategies and to receive help in time of trouble. Just receive help in the height of battle. It helps you to receive to get more ground crossed and overlooked. Excuse me. It allows you to get more ground covered when you're fighting the enemy. You know, you can overlook something when you're looking and trying to scout out stuff by yourself. And there's an old adage that said, four eyes is better than two. I really believe that. You know, sometimes we don't need a word from a prophet. We need a word from a seer. We don't need a word. We need a vision. We need a sight. We need a picture. We need somebody to see something. We need to know how our team members work. so the dynamics of our team doesn't go off when we're in the midst of the battle. When you're with a team, it allows you to surround the enemy. Allows us to surround the enemy. Teamwork destroys pride. It exalts humility. Teamwork reveals the weak link in leadership. It exposes sin. Teamwork exposes the sin in the life of the individual who's hiding. This is why people don't want to connect with others, because their light, people's light, exposes the darkness inside of them. And the Bible declares, thank you, Holy Spirit, that the darkness runs from the light because the light reproves it of its deeds. So the reason why you don't want to connect with a local church is the reason why you want to connect with somebody that's going to rebuke you when you're acting a fool is because you don't want nobody to see your mess. Oh, God, but God said, I'm going to connect you with somebody that's going to show you your mess, my Jesus. Not just show you your mess, but rebuke you and get you together and restore you from your mess. Come on. This is what teamwork does. This is what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes. When one person falls, the brother is there. Two is better than one, is there to pick up his brother because he's fall. This is why you can't get up, because you refuse to connect with somebody that can help you up. You want to stay in your ditch because you don't want to see, you don't want nobody to see you in that state. Come on. Nobody wants to see them with a bad hair day. You know, you wear your hats and all of the, you stay from going outside. No, God said, show. I'm gonna allow people to see your mess. I'm gonna allow them to see it, so you can get some help. So you can get some help, because right now with this state in your loneliness and in your myopicness by yourself, you are bound and you can't get free. So God is speaking to you prophetically tonight and said, I'm going to send to you a warriors. I'm going to send to you strength from the sanctuary and help from out of Zion. I'm going to send to you my strong right arm. I'm going to send to you a team that will bring you out of your darkness and into God's marvelous light. Come on, let's go to the scripture a little bit more. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Let's, you know what, before we even go there, let's go to Judges. Judges, I'm telling you, this is the hour of the team. This is the hour of the team. And if you don't understand team purpose, the purpose of God unifying people, for we can fulfill the scriptures, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, thank you, Holy Spirit, that we might speak the same mind, the same language, the same discernment, the same judgment. This is why it's so important that we become one, so we can speak the same things and do the same things, so no one basically can tell us apart. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. How do you think that Jesus was so sought after but never found? Oh God, he had to have Judas kiss Jesus on the cheek, because Jesus was so in tune with his apostles, and his apostles were so in tune with Jesus that they could not tell him apart. Even though Jesus and the apostles walked throughout the cobblestone streets day after day, it came to the point when they came to bring Jesus to the judgment hall, they could not decipher between the other 12 and Jesus. This is how unified the team was. Are you so unified with your leader that if someone corners you to ask you about the vision, that you don't speak something different than what they're speaking? Oh, goodness, Jesus. You know, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when you corner people and you ask them the vision of their church and they don't even know it. Or you speak to one person that's supposed to be a part of the ministry and another person that's supposed to be a part of the same ministry, and they're speaking two different visions. They have their own perception of what is going on in the ministry, and this is why ministries are split. This is why ministries can't gain momentum, because we have not power of teamwork. We have not understood the power of teamwork. And if we understood this, let's go to Judges 20. Judges 20 and 11. This is a good scripture. It says, so all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. My Jesus Christ. When war was declared on Gibeah, the Sodomites were demanded to be slain. So what happened was the Israelites, the men of Israel, came together against the city and linked arms and came together and destroyed as one man, took another kingdom down. You can have a better impact with a closed fist than an open one. So you got to understand, until we come together, we can't make impact. We'll have less impact. We'll be making the imprints, but we won't be making impact. See, I can only put my fingerprint in the ground or my footprint in the ground by myself. But with a team, I make an impact. I make an impact and not just an imprint. Oh, my God. See, you got to understand something. God is trying to get you out of yourself. With all of this stuff with YOLO, you only live once, with you know, doest thou wilt, and, you know, love yourself, and everything is about self. Everything is about self. I keep telling you, idolatry is not a statue. It's a reflection. Oh, my God, it's a reflection. We're stuck on ourselves. We're mesmerized by ourselves. We turn our own self on. This is why we don't want to deal with nobody else, because we don't want nobody else to steal our shine. My Jesus, we don't want nobody else to steal our platform. We don't want nobody else to take away our momentum, because we're afraid that if they do, we'll be lost in the sauce and they'll get more attention. We need to be dealt with rejection. The spirit of rejection has slept with the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And we need, oh God, we need to get, oh Jesus, an abortion of rejection. My Jesus, we need to go to the clinic. We need to go to the heavenly clinic and get the seed of rejection aborted out of our spiritual womb. Because it's this seed of rejection and abandonment that's keeping us from connecting with our brothers and sisters, that's keeping us satisfied with looking at on social media and staring into a phone and staring into a laptop and an iPad all day instead of connecting with a local church. The devil is a liar. I thank God for social media, but there's nothing like a human touch. There's nothing like a teammate picking you up when you fall down. There's nothing like a computer. A robot can't tell you. Get that transhumanism spirit out of your mind. A robot can't tell you that it loves you and it means it, because it ain't got no soul. But a team member can pick you up when you're feeling low and tell you that they love you. A team member can slap you in your face and get you together and pull you out the fire, despising your garments. Come on and get that spirit of loneliness and that spirit of me, me, me. You got a my, a Johnny Gill spirit on you. Get that thing off. It's not about you. It's about teamwork. Hallelujah. Let me give you some types of teams that I believe that we all should see flowing within the local church. I believe if you institute these teams in your ministry, you will see great success. You will see your city change. I thank God for Apostle Kimberly Daniels. She's getting more laws passed, you know, these days, because politics needs the prophetic. The government needs true apostles and prophets and teachers and doctors and of historical and genealogical data that will bring in teaching and restoration to the body of Christ, not just for the nation, but for the believer. And now we've got prayer back in schools, being instituted back in schools. We got things being passed. Why? Because someone decided they want to hear God and become part of a team that was out of the ordinary. Come on, Jeremiah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jeremiah was called to the political realm. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:18 that God sent him to, and the whole land will come against him. The kings and the princes will come against him. That's the political arena. He said the priests will come against him. That's the religious arena. He said the people of the land will come against him. That's the social arena. Jeremiah had to take a team of prophets that was disobeying God and fight a system that was bent on stopping him from advancing the kingdom of God through the voice of the prophetic. He didn't do it alone. He had to sit in God's counsel and tell him to connect with this one, connect with that one. He didn't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Intercessory teams. You need this team. Intercessory teams. Intercessory teams deal with two things. They deal with undergirding intercessors and covering intercessors. Covering intercessors deal with things that we see on the outside, the natural stuff. You know, you see the pastor got a sniffle, so you give him a tissue and you pray for his little cold. Yeah? But you don't see the real root of the issue. You just see the manifestation, the manifesto. That's why you need the undergirding intercessor who God can share the root of the cold or the root of the problem, because he can share it with the undergirding intercessor, because the undergirding intercessor has a bridled mouth. They're not a gossiper. They're not people that will spread what they see. Oh, the Lord showed me this about my pastor. The Lord showed me this about sister so-and-so. No, you ain't interceding. You gossiping. I keep telling you, a gossiper is nothing but a perverted intercessor. It's a gossiper is an intercessor that is off their post. Instead of gathering the information that they're learning, that they're hearing, and that they're receiving and interceding and praying, they spread it. They spread it with ill motive. Because, again, that rejection and that abandonment spirit, that spirit of jealousy that wants them, all eyes on them, starts spreading gospel to sow seed to discord so no one will look upon them, but all eyes will be on them. Oh, God, Jesus. So we need intercessory teams. God is going to always have somebody in your life to show you your mess, to see your mess. You ain't hiding. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 2 Kings that the Captain Naaman was an honorable man. He was an honorable man, and he had won great deliverance for Syria. He was a captain of the host, but he had leprosy. Oh, Jesus. He had leprosy, and nobody knew it. Nobody knew he had leprosy, because for sure we know through history and through biblical history, anyone that has leprosy is thrown into the leper's colony, a leper's culture. So nobody knew King Naaman had leprosy, but God and his wife. Oh, God, why? Because captains of the host slept in their armor. They were very, barely seen without their armor. So one day they go on a mission to fight as a team. Come on, we're still dealing with apostolic teams, gathering apostolic teams. We come there. And he sees a little handmaiden, and they ramshack her town, and they kill everything off, and they keep her, and they put her as a slave, and she becomes a servant to a man that has leprosy. And as she begins to do her daily duties, he fails to see her standing over in the corner, and he begins to take off his armor, not realizing that she's still in the room. Uh-oh, you about to put your armor down. You're about to put your guard down, but you don't see that person standing in the room. They actually there to see that madness that you're trying to hide, that you've been hiding under ministry, that you've been hiding under your job, that you've been hiding under the drugs, that you've been hiding under the drinking, that you've been hiding under the eating. Oh, he's going to expose it tonight. Hallelujah. So the little handmaiden goes and sees captain of the host Naaman, and she sees that he has leprosy, and she doesn't go and spread it all out and tell his business. No, because she's an undergirding intercessor. Yeah, she sees the root. She sees the unclean spirit. And instead of gossiping about it, she speaks to the wife. Oh, God, she goes to the person that has the captain's ear. Yeah, so she goes to the wife and says, listen, if you would just get your husband to go down, if you could just team up with me to get your husband some deliverance, if you could just team up with the Holy Ghost, if you could just team up with your leader, you could just team with your pastor, team up with your other brothers and sisters, and get your family member, get your husband, get your children some deliverance, and stop trying to do it by yourself. Maybe you will see some leeway. Oh, God, this is what this little maiden is telling the woman of God. She said, listen, I know a man over there by the Jordan. He's a prophet, and if you would just send your husband over there, if you would just agree with me that he will go over there, he will be delivered. Oh, it took a little time for the team to get naming together, but he finally went it over there, and he finally, after all the hustle and the bustle and excuses, he finally dipped into Jordan 7 times. That dirty water took back the unclean spirit that was eating up his flesh, all because a team, all because two people came together. A captain was able to be delivered from a spirit of bondage, of leprosy, and having his skin being eaten away, and having shame and guilt being beat upon his mind. A team came together and wrecked shop on that kingdom of uncleanness and sent it back to the dirty waters from which it came. Come on, you can't tell me the power of a team is way beyond somebody's power to do something by themselves. Oh, God. You try doing things by yourself all the time, you're going to wear yourself out. So you need an intercessory team. You need somebody that's going to pray for you. You know, that's going to pray with you. That's going to pray about you. That's going to pray for you, not pray against you. You got to have scouting teams. Scouting teams. Let me give you just a couple of scriptures for intercessory teams. 1 Corinthians. Excuse me, scouting teams, intercessory teams. Judges 7, 2 through 8, Isaiah 53 and 12, Jeremiah 7, 16, Ezekiel 9, 1 through 11. That's the scripture I was talking about earlier when God took and called for the man with the inkhorn and told him to bring 6 warring men out of the city. And they began to go as a team and begin to sweep through the city and begin to kill everybody that did not have the mark of the Lord upon their forehead. Man, with hour that we're living in, there are going to be people that God is going to assign to be with you, that as you go out, you'll be able to bring in the souls. You'll be able to cast out devils. These men went out throughout the cities and destroyed those who did not have the mark. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They did not have God's seal. They did not have God's approval. And he was not sparing anybody. He was killing boys, girls, women, men. Your team is going to be required to do something that's against the grain, that doesn't seem normal. It doesn't seem all right. Could you imagine seeing 6 men walking around killing babies and killing young men and killing girls? Your team is going to have to walk around in regions that God sends you to and do things that's not going to look pretty. Deliverance isn't pretty. When you throw a plate against the wall and see if it shatters, do you think that's pretty? No, it don't. It hurts. It hurts. Deliverance hurts sometimes, but it's a hurt so good because you got somebody there that can bear you up and bear the infirmity of the weak. I feel the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. You want intercessory teams. You want scouting teams. Scouting teams. People who are employed to explore new territories. People who are employed to explore new territories, buy or explore carefully in order to obtain information. No, you're not fighting. No, God didn't tell you to bring down the stronghold. God didn't tell you to attack the Nephilim. God didn't tell you to attack all the giants. He didn't tell you to bring down the wall of Jericho. He didn't tell you to do all that stuff. He said just gather information. That's what a scouting team does. People, they are the reconnaissance team. They bring back the information about the region, and then the scouting team gives it over to the intercessory team so the intercessory team can pray and make sure that the kingdom that they're assigned to is not overrun. The kingdom city that they're assigned to is not overtaken. This is why it's important that we have scout teams, one that is dispatched from a main body to gather information, especially in preparation for military action. Before a region can be invaded, it must be mapped. It must be spiritually mapped and scouted out. We got to know what we're coming against. Come on, Joshua 2, when the Lord sent out the spies. Joshua 2, 1 through 24. Numbers 13. Again, you want these spies, if you will, or the scouting team that go out to gather the information so you can correctly pray, so you know how to fast, so you can do a great strategy, so you don't have to fight so hard. See, a team helps you fight smart so you don't have to fight hard. God told me that a long time ago. He said, son, I want you to work smart. Don't work hard. Working hard is going to always be hard when you're by yourself. Minstrel teams are musicians, not just musicians. Minstrel teams also deal with the arts, anything dealing with the arts. It could be dancing. It could be poetry. It could be spoken word. It could be gospel rap. We're dealing with minstrel teams, not just with instruments. We're dealing with people that know how to host the Spirit of God, meaning invite him in and keep him there, meaning make love to God so good with your music and minister to him so good and serve him so well with your worship through the song and dance and through our gifts so emphatically that he says to us, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to be out of your presence. Come on, God wants our worship to be so thick and so heavy and so good. He wants us to team up and do this thing so much together that he doesn't want to leave. He wants habitation. He doesn't want visitation. He's tired of encounters. He's tired of experiences. He wants to dwell among his people. But a people divided would not see a people divided won't see a God that's one. Did you hear what I just said? A God that deals in oneness will not dwell with a people that is divided. We need our minstrel teams. The minstrel teams, bring them in, bring God in, and they host them. They play for the audience of one. They play for God. Genesis 49 and 18, 6 through 7. Judges 7, 21 through 22. Minstrel teams. Music surrounds and confuses the enemy. We don't want hirelings. We want ministry minstrels that know how to serve God and serve people, that know how to move God with the melody of their heart instead of the rhythm of their skill. Minstrel teams, we need evangelism teams. Evangelism teams, we have two types of evangelism teams. We have the church evangelist, and the world evangelist. The church evangelist we could find in the book of Acts, dealing with Stephen, Acts 6, 1 through 13, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It said the evangelist was sent to the church to perfect the church, till we all come and to the unity of the faith. So we're equipping broke people. We're equipping imperfected people. We're equipping individuals who are rebellious and they just are bent on not working with anyone else, but who they believe they should be working with, and it's just me, myself, and I. De La Soul. De La Soul is the song, Me, Myself, and I. It's just you, yourself, and you. You don't want to work with nobody else. You don't want to deal with nobody else. And this is why you can't effectively build ministry, because you're still trying to do it alone. You're still trying to join every other team that everybody else is joining when God didn't tell you to be a part of that team. Oh, this is my tribe. Get that spirit out of here. You need to get a part of a local church or build yourself up a team and get connected with someone who's going to cover you, who's going to counsel you, and who's going to give you the support you need. Stephen dealt with the evangelists to the church. Stephen and Philip were two evangelists that were taken out of the diaconate. There were seven men that was pulled from out of the masses, and they was chosen by the disciples and affirmed and sent out and imparted to by the apostles. These seven men stayed within the administration graces until one day God began to speak and deal with the hearts of Stephen and Philip, and they began to say, no, I'm not allowing this particular administration to keep me bound, but I see something that I need God to do, and I see something that I need God, that God is saying, and I need to get it out. And they began to become full of wisdom and faith, and they began to preach the gospel and demonstrate miracles. And Stephen went over and began to preach to those of the religious faith, the Sanhedrin. They began to preach to them, and the Bible said they began to preach to them so strong that they could not withstand his wisdom, to the point where they came and bit upon him. When's the last time your evangelism team came back with reports that they have been stoned or somebody bit them? When's the last time somebody said, I'm going to punch you in your face if you say the name of Jesus, if you preach the gospel to me again? Where's your evangelism teams that's going to raise up with great joy that break the spell off of cities? Where's the evangelism team that will speak the gospel of Jesus Christ versus passing out the tract of their church? Where's the evangelism, the name of Jesus, instead of brand and promote and market the name of their local leader? Where is the people of God that's willing to team up with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and bring the kingdom of God forcefully advancing into the nations that we are here in earth serving? I don't know. Maybe I got evangelism wrong. You know, I thought we supposed to talk about, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we so on our own individual missions, we forgot all about the Great Commission. We forgot all about the reason why we're saved, the reason why we have a message, the reason why we've been called into the ministry of reconciliation. We forgot the main message that we're supposed to preach, which is the gospel of the cross, the message of the cross, the message of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even God works with a team. Even God has his Son and the Holy Spirit. What's our excuse? You want evangelism teams? You need more deliverance teams. Genesis 45 and 7. Said, I saved you a great prosperity in the earth, that you become a remnant in the earth, that you might bring great deliverance. He saved a remnant, a team, a handful of people, a militia. He's pulling out of a big body of people so they can go and spread the gospel more effectively, more strategically. Deliverance teams. Psalms 44, 1 through 7. Deliverance has always been here. It's nothing new. It's nothing new under the sun, the scripture says anyway. But we make deliverance seem like, oh my God, this is something so new. No, it's always been here. It's just new because you keep rejecting it. It's new to you because you keep rejecting the team that God sends to you, the deliverance team that God builds you with and in. You are the mercy. You represent the mercy of God to those that are bound. This is why we need deliverance teams, because without deliverance, we cannot extend mercy. Without deliverance, we cannot show love. Without deliverance, we cannot understand the power of bondage. Oh, my Jesus. Come on, saints. Hear me when I say you can't do this alone. You can't even understand the scriptures alone. How can he hear except for a preacher? How can he preach except for he be sent? We need deliverance teams, scribe teams. Oh, Lord. I told them this weekend that God is silencing the mouth of major prophets. He's silencing the mouth and strengthening the pen. oh God. He's safeguarding his word. Nowadays, you hear me prophetically, now you're going to start seeing a lot of leaders who are prophetic, who spoke more frequently. You're going to start seeing them back up. You're going to start seeing them not speak as much. They're not going to be as visual as they used to be. Why? Because God is dealing with them. He's dealing with them with their pen. And he says, no, I don't want you to speak in this season. I want you to write. Because don't you know it was because of a scribe that you got your Bible right now? It was because of a little old head, an old man with gray beard with a cobble walking on a cobblestone street with a hammer and a rock with some ink. Began to hammer the word of the Lord into a rock and put it into a vessel and put it into a cave and buried it. And somebody had the audacity to dig it up and put it in a book so we can live by it. Come on, it was a scribe that saved your life. It was a scribe that was sent in. The scribe teams were ordained and destined to protect the word of the Lord. Why? Because there was a hit out on prophets. There was a hit out on the school of prophets. And so the scribe was put in place so they could record the word of the Lord in case the prophet died, in case the prophet got killed, in case the prophet got captured. Come on here. The word of the Lord, you better thank God for that word that was put on that recorder. We say thank God for tape ministry. Thank God for CDs. I got stuff recorded all the way back in the early 90s, and it saved me right here in early 2018. My Jesus. That scribe anointing, your books will be here. Listen to me, man of God. Listen to me, woman of God. Your books will be here even after you die and go and meet Jesus. Your books will be here. The anointing of the scribe is upon the house of the Lord this day. The anointing of the scribe is welling up in the hearts of the leaders. Why? Because the people are not hearing their voice, but they're reading on their Kindles. They're reading in their iBooks. They're reading in the libraries on the internet. Come on, the scribe anointing is here today. God has said, I'm going to strengthen your pen. I'm going to make your pen, the ink, I'm going to make it my spirit. The ball of it, I'm going to pierce the hearts of men, and it's going to write on the hearts my commandments and my statutes, says the Lord, because my scribes are coming up. Hallelujah. I feel the grace of God. Kings are being risen up in this hour. You're going to feel a love, a passion, a hunger and desire to write, to poetry, to write songs, to write books. Oh, you know, you come in the volume of the book. Somebody got a testimony that's on this line. God said, bring it out. What are you waiting for? I'll break that spirit of procrastination off of you. I'm trying to give you a team. I'm trying to give you a publishing network. I'm trying to give you a publishing company, but you can't get out of the loneliness long enough so you can get some help with your design, with your book cover. Come on here. You can't do it by yourself. Hallelujah. I feel the strength of God. We need more prophetic teams. We need people that actually know what they're doing in the prophetic. Not the pathetic, the prophetic. The foresight, the insight, the hindsight, the things that we can see that happened in the past, the word of knowledge that we can see that is happening right now, and the foretelling, that futuristic word that will give us guidance and give us hope for the things to come. We need two prophetic teams that will bring an encouraging and a warning word, that will speak judgment, that will bring affliction. We need a prophetic team that will speak the word of God and keep vile and gross and rude comments out of their mouth. We got the prophetic team. We got the prophets. We got the prophets are the mouth of God. They're the mouthpiece of God. You got God cussing. I've never seen a lot of cussing prophets. We got God smoking. We got God drinking. We got God having oral sex. We got all our prophetic teams is doing all types of foolishness. Don't you understand that you're not just not prophets, you're priests? You can't tell me if you're a prophet, you can't make a sacrifice, because priests make sacrifice. They know how to make sacrifice. Can you sacrifice being alone? Can you sacrifice not having all the attention on you? Can you sacrifice not having the platform to yourself? Can you sacrifice? Can you give it up? Come on, prophets, we need you in this hour. We need you to team up and stop just giving individual words and link up and become a school of prophets and give the nation a word. The nation needs a word. America needs a word. Africa has enough words. China, Russia has enough words. Come on, where's the prophetic team that is speaking into the heart of America? Lastly, apostolic presbyteries. Apostolic presbyteries are a team of elders who are graced with the apostolic, the prophetic, and the teaching graces of the fivefold ministry. This apostolic presbytery is the most important to me because it sets the tone of the rest of the house. The apostolic presbytery is what all the other teams flow out of, because the apostolic presbytery is the foundation of the local church, is the foundation of the body of Christ. The apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. Jesus Christ said that he was the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. Jesus is the teacher, apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. Rabbi, teacher. We know that you are a teacher of God because you do miracles. I believe that is St. John 3:20, around that area. But you got to understand the importance. Notice in this apostolic presbytery, notice that God never said anything about false pastors or false evangelists. He said false apostles, you will have false teachers, and you will have false prophets. Why? Because these represent the foundation of the church. And if the team, a wicked team of a false apostle, prophet, and teacher can connect and come together and begin to infiltrate the foundation of the church, it won't be long before that foundation crumbles and the building falls, or you have erected a wicked house. A wicked house, and you know that this team has built a wicked house because it has infestation instead of multiplication. Infestation is when the people grow out, but they never grow up. Yeah, they come to church. You get masses of people. You got 5,000 people, but nobody's really saved. You see in miracles. Yeah, you seeing signs and wonders. Bible says that nobody's repenting. Jesus had to go through the cities that were doing great works, according to Matthew chapter 11. They were doing great work, and Jesus upbraided them. He reprimanded them. He chastised them. He rebuked them. Because though they were doing great works, nobody was turning their life over to the Lord. Nobody was repenting. So this is why when we have false leadership, we see a lot of people come into church one way, but they never go out a different way. They stay the same. They grow out, but they don't go up. So now it's an infestation, a tree that has every evil and dirty bird flowing in and out of it. Because the apostolic presbytery they were went ones and not sent ones. God didn't institute them. Shall all be apostles? Shall all be prophets? Shall all be teachers? Shall all speak in tongues? Shall all prophesy? No. You just because your pastor is your wife is a pastor doesn't mean your husband got to be the co-pastor. Just because you the deacon don't mean your wife got to be the deaconess. God doesn't build false teams. He don't just put people together to be putting together. No, he puts people together that are equally yoked, not meaning they're the same. They're the same in the spirit. That means they complement one another in the spirit. They complement one another in the spirit. Aquila and Priscilla, there was a husband and wife ministry team that complemented one another. One might have been graced in one other better, and the other might have been graced in another area better. But when they came together, they were equally yoked. They were unified as a team, and they were able to teach Paul. They were able to teach Apollos the more excellent way in the scriptures, even though he had his own intellect, gift of knowledge. You see what teams do? Teams bring the best out of you. Teams bring out of you what you can't see in yourself. But if we don't get together these things done as building teams, we're going to see a lot of leaders fall by the wayside. I'm speaking to you leaders right now. You have to begin to build your successorship. You have to begin to start speaking to other people that's going to stir them up. And to give them what they need, so when you leave, they'll have all that they need. They'll know how to run the place. They'll know how to it'll run smoothly. You won't have no church splits. You won't have people killing each other. You need a team. Even Moses needed Aaron and Ur. You see, this is why the nation is failing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The nation is failing because family is failing. Family is failing because the devil knows that it's only by a family, can nation be one. It's only by a family that a nation can be one. Come on, Micah 6:4. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The Bible says that it was because of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, who were a set of brothers and sisters, biological brothers and sisters. It said they saved, they brought out the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Over 1 million people, over 600,000 men, not counting children and women. So over 1 million people come out of Egypt by the hand of a family, by the hand of a team, a hand of a team of a family of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. When's the last time your family brought somebody out? This is why the enemy is attacking the families of a nation, of our nation, because if our families would stand up, our nation would be saved. If the family would stand up and be accountable for, men that are stuck in the gay clubs, men that are stuck in the bars, men that are stuck in the mirror, men that are stuck in addiction, men that are stuck in rejection, men that are stuck in anger, they will come out by the power of God. We need to establish teams. It's important this day that we establish teams. Leaders, don't do it by yourself. Hear me now. Get some teams established in your church, and I guarantee you everything will flow much, much better. You won't have to do it alone. You know, let me give you these teams again, and then we're going to open up the lines for any questions or comments. The teams that we're talking about, intercessory teams, ministry teams, evangelism teams, scouting teams, deliverance teams, scribe teams, prophetic teams, and apostolic presbyteries. All this teaching can be found in my training manual called Restoring Regions, Taking Back Spiritually What Naturally Belongs to Us. I believe that's Psalms 115 and 14. This particular training manual is very special to me. It's helped me out in a lot of areas of my life as a leader, as an emerging leader. God has given me some great revelation and insight on how to effectively break regions open, how to establish and start ministries and field units, and this also deals with gifts and callings, how to identify your gift, how to identify callings, how to make the difference between the gift and the calling, yes, and the differences between gifts and offices and callings, yeah, how to tell you about charges. I teach you about teach and train you about callings and charges and commissions, and it's power packed. It's got so many, a lot of leaders over in the international continents of Africa and China. I got some over in Asia. They're doing a great job utilizing this book in their own ministries, my deliverance manual. So I got other things on our product website. I want you to go there. It's Apostolic Author, ADLG, Apostolic Author, ADLG, all one word, .com. And you go there, click on the link, get the manual. It will bless you, I'm telling you. You can take it. You can train others. I show you each team. I didn't go into it extensively with you tonight, but each of these teams, I have great revelation and great instructions for you to show you how to implement things you should be looking for. So forth and so on, go in there and get it. And I'm telling you, it will bless your heart. I thank you so much for listening for me tonight. And I want to take this time to bless my brother, Edward Hamilton. Bless you, sir. Thank you, man of God, for I appreciate you for allowing me to be on tonight. If there's any questions, let them come on through. Keep me up in your prayers.
Amen.
My name is Apostle.
not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say yeah.
You created me to worship.
Oh yeah. create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship.